Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Out of place with this stuff.
Yeah, you'll get in trouble.
I won't get in trouble. It's a one-time use thing. Welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm always getting in trouble here, folks. Every time you have your radio on and we come back, there's Bud telling me I'm in trouble for something. What am I in trouble for? I'm not in trouble for anything. Welcome back to our program, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, online at philhendryshow.com as well. If you get a backstage pass to our website, which is a very affordable, marvelous little thing to have, why, that backstage pass takes you to almost 5,000 hours of great original radio programming, our radio show, going back well over a decade, many generations of our show, all kinds of record-breaking and trend-setting and monumental and historic radio. And and we continue to do that. Listen to this show we're doing tonight. You probably don't even know what the hell it is you're listening to. If you're a first time listener, you have no,
that ain't good.
It ain't good, man. But in any event, go to our website. You'll also get video archives over there. You will also have available very shortly to you who are iPhone and iPad users on demand for your iPhone and iPad our video casts, which we're doing right now. So the next morning or the next day or whatever, yeah, because we're on late at night, and I recognize that. But if you're driving around, hey, I want to check out and see Phil's video cast from last night. Boom, you bring it up on your iPhone. That's right. That's right. So that's just one of many cool things that we have ahead for you as a backstage pass holder as well as a Phil Hendry Show listener. Join us at Facebook, at facebook.com/ Phil Hendry Fans, PHANS. You can check out there our show quote of the day. Which was it today? Margaret, you know?
I don't want to do. I think that's asinine.
Whoa.
Well, man, what, are you too good for it?
Yeah, you're too good.
No, I'm not too good. I've been singled out on that quote of the day, and I don't like it.
Well, Margaret, it's funny stuff.
Oh, it's funny stuff, huh?
Yeah, the day you said that ain't cucumber sauce is pretty damn funny.
I was talking about the Greek that I had had an affair with.
We know.
Who's we, Phil?
Me, my listeners, everybody within thousands of... it's a famous bit. Okay, and you were talking about you were having an affair...
Yes, and it was terribly exciting, the fact that he was making...
You said it was terribly exciting and he's making love to you while he's eating a sandwich.
Yeah, what kind of sandwich was it? Was it a cucumber sandwich and everything?
What a... You are almost an un... You are unrecognizable as a human. What's so funny?
Unrecognizable as a human?
What did I do?
I don't know... You know what, Bud? You missed your calling as a gargoyle. Thank you, I'm going to the toilet.
That's the second time she's going to the toilet.
Oh, is it the second time? Phil, I'll tell you this now. If there's a peephole that you've drilled in a wall there, I won't go to my husband who's a lawyer. I'll kill you. All three of you.
Whoa!
Little less, man.
I mean...
She'll kill all three of us. So, what did she say? She said she had... It was terribly exciting. The guy was making love to her with a sandwich. And, okay, so anyway, Margaret was featured on our quote of the day, which was... that ain't cucumber sauce. We've had a lot of great quotes. The quote of today is, I'll read it, I'll do it.
I don't mind doing it.
All right, what is it?
It's from Chris Norton, then I do the splits over a watermelon.
I thought it was pretty good.
Chris Norton, he was describing some sex dance he does, right?
Yeah.
And the climax to this sex dance, if you'll pardon the expression, is him doing the splits over an open watermelon, so... There you go. All right, 877-876-7445 is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And every night, as I say, we're online at philhendryshow.com. So grab yourself a backstage pass and have yourself just a barrel of laughs. Pastor William Rennick is joining us now from Bellflower at Joyful Union Congregation at his home there with his wife, Claire. It's always good to talk to you, Pastor. How are you?
I'm doing very good, and I appreciate you having me on your program.
I've been missing talking to you, and the question that has arisen here over the last few minutes, or you know, several minutes, was this idea of the crucifix, and really we were talking about inciting people. This man was standing outside of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Grants Pass, Oregon, and by all accounts, and these are witnesses who are speaking to the police. He was constantly yelling at people going in and out. He was yelling at obscenities at women. I'm not justifying the fact that he was attacked. Did you read this story?
No, I did not see the story. This is a man, this Planned Parenthood, this is an anti-abortion man.
Yeah.
All right.
By the way, maybe I, as a pastor, I'm going to have to assume, are you pro-life?
I'm not going to say.
Why not? You, Pastor, this is Bud Dickman.
I don't care who's, I'm not going to say. I'm not going to get hooked into that. My job is to preach the word, to witness the word of Jesus Christ. That is the Son of God. You understand?
Yes.
All right. Now, there ain't nothing I've ever read where Jesus specifically addresses the issue of a pregnancy, of an unplanned and all this, and having a baby and so on and so forth. I've never heard. I only express the word of Jesus Christ.
All right.
You know what I mean, right?
Well, yeah.
All right.
All right, Pat.
Now, hold on. You asked me to come on your show to talk about it. I tell people what Jesus said. Now, if I don't have, if someone said to me, well, Pastor, I don't understand that Jesus, I said, you know, are you an idiot? Are you an idiot? I say to them, what did Jesus say?
About abortion?
Well, what am I doing? Why did you bring me on here to talk about spitting on the sidewalk? Yes, abortion.
Well, Pastor, what are you all upset about?
Because it's late. You drag me out of bed. I'm getting ready to go to sleep. I'm reading a Kindle book. All right, I'm having a good time. I'm reading that, and I also downloaded that David Lee Roth podcast. And you call me up and say, will you come on and talk about all this? I'm happy to talk about it, okay, but I'm in my pajamas. My wife is sitting here. She's having a cup of tea. She's got her glasses on. And all of a sudden, I'm...
Well, if I'm bugging you, I'll let you go.
No, it's all right. It's okay. And
what do you mean you downloaded the David Lee Roth podcast?
I just got the Roth show, okay? You know, I'm chilling for the night. I got all my little podcasts here. I got my books, all this, and here comes Phil Henry. And you want me to... All right, fine. I got to do it my way, right? Remember that song by Sammy Davis Jr.? Whether I'm right, whether I'm wrong, whether I find a place to not never be glory, never be gone, never be glorified. What was that?
I never be glorified. Whether I find a place to never belong.
No, he said, whether I'm right, whether I'm wrong, whether I find a place in the world never belong, I got to be me.
Well, Pastor, the song goes...
Oh, here we go. She's going to sing.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry.
No, hold off, Margaret. Will you? Pastor Renick, all I'm asking you is this. I don't want to ask you whether abortion is against God's word.
Oh, thank God. Why didn't you say so?
Because you wouldn't let me get a word in.
Am I doing some kind of a comedy routine? That's the standard reply that you give when you're doing one of them one-man stand-up comedy deal. Say, well, why didn't you say so? You never asked. You know that? How to do that?
Yeah. They did a lot of comedy acts go like that.
Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about, see? The dumbest guy there, he know what I'm talking about. All right. So, you don't want to... All right, so go ahead. What do you want to ask me?
Thank you for giving me a chance. What I wanted to ask you...
Well, I'm sorry I didn't give you a chance, Phil, but I'm sitting here. My wife got a tea. She got...
Yeah, no. You got your David Lee Roth podcast. So anyway, you I've got you on the air because I want to ask you about the provocation of standing there and in the name of God provoking people... trying to provoke people into arguments. And then I mentioned the lady that had the large crucifix walked right into the middle of an anti-gay, very, very emotional protest. It had to do with boycotting a store. And everybody there was extremely hot under the collar. She walked into that crowd with a large crucifix, knowing full well that she was going to cause if not a riot, a lot of anger. Because that cross has come to represent something to the gay community, which is basically, gay, go home, we don't like you.
Well, Philip, if that's the case,
right. Okay.
Then I don't want to know, see, you just, got to, you let me, the way I preach is like, I got timing, you know. If that's the case, how many times do I do it?
You get 3 times, 4.
Hold on, Phil. If that's the case, I need to do it 4 times. And
well, what did I do?
Oh, you did it again.
You know, everybody's upset with me for interrupting them tonight.
All right, well, don't get upset with me now. I don't say that. If that's the case, I'll cut out all if that's the case. I'll get right to the punchline here. Then I have to tell you, Phil, we have failed as Christians. Failed!
We failed. If that is true, if gay people, gay man, gay lady, gay, what have you, if the people of the gay community now see the crucifix, the cross, whatever you want to call it, I know you Catholic, you call it crucifix. And,
no, it's a cross.
All right. What's crucifix?
That's the calf with the Jesus hanging off the cross.
Right, okay. If that's the case, Phil, then we have got to go back and start all over again, because that cross, that symbol of Jesus and the love he had for mankind, that he would give his life, gave his life. You understand what I'm saying? The man gave his life for the whole human race. And all the whole human race is doing what? Oh, well, I tell you what we're doing, downloading the David Lee Roth podcast, that I'm doing that. My wife's sitting here, you know, I might get my car washed. What the whole human race doing? Going bowling? Playing on a video game? Going out looking at football. This weekend, everybody go see football, right, Phil? You like the football, right?
Yep.
Okay. And meanwhile, Jesus is hanging on the cross, dying. He's dying. I'm watching football. And now people take that cross, they say, guess what this means? It don't mean that Jesus is hanging on the cross saving mankind. It means that we hate gay people.
A lot of those people would say that is
Whoa, sunshine! I'm not done yet. We hate gay people. I know what you're going to say. A lot of those people would say, "No, we hate this. We hate the sin. We love the sinner." Anytime you show that cross to someone and they perceive it to mean gay go home or gay out or no gay, anything you want to say. Because I talk to gay people all the time. I feel like I got gay members of my congregation. And I had a cross. They said, I can't come into that church, Pastor, because I know what that cross means. It means gay go home. Okay? It means gay out. You know, there ain't no gay in. It's a gay out. And I said, well, not in this church, it ain't.
Well, you're to be commended.
Not in this church, it ain't. So I would say to all my Christian brothers and sisters, I'd say, look, our job is to bring that cross to anyone, and when they see it, they feel sustenance, they feel saved, they feel that there's a new day, it's a better day. What's that?
Better day.
It's my wife, Claire. What's that?
It's a better day.
I can't hear you.
She said better day.
Oh, better day. A better day. Yeah, it's a better day for you and me. And so that's what I'd say, Phil.
All right. Well, I'm sorry I bothered you, Pastor.
You didn't bother me, but just give me a heads up, will you? What if I shouldn't say it, but I mean, you know, in the name of God and I love God and Jesus, but what if I'm having, you know, I should think, what if I'm having sex with my wife? And I'd love it on my wife.
Oh, William, that is absolutely terrible. You apologize that man, right?
I didn't say nothing graphic. I said, what if Phil Henry called me up? And you and I are in the middle of enjoying our marriage and our wedded bliss. And now you call me up. What am I supposed to say to my wife?
Don't answer the phone. How about that?
Oh. No. I mean, what am I supposed to say to my wife after I answer the phone?
All right. Thanks so much. Got to take a break. 3 minutes late.
That man needs help.
You haven't approved of one guest we've had tonight, have you?
Yeah, you're complaining about everybody and Dave Oliver.
Dave Oliver.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. What
Truth
if I called him up and they were having
bitch.
Sex?
The Phil Henry Show.
Oh, wow, we were just listening to a KGFJ, because we were talking about KGFJ. I don't know when our conversation is on the air, when it's off the air. Were we on the air with this?
I don't know. I don't know whether you, because Dan Northcraft should keep notes and tell you, Dan, this is Margaret. Were you on the air talking about KFJ or whatever it is?
Dan just said, no, we weren't.
Okay, so then.
What? So then we can talk about it?
Then I would think it's appropriate, but this entire show has been confusing to me because you've allowed yourself to be verbally abused. And by the way, that's something else. The song, is Pastor Rennick still there?
No, he's gone. We hung up on him.
Why did you? He's a Christian.
So what if he's a Christian? He wanted us to hang up on him. He's laying there reading his books and listening to his David Lee Roth podcast.
David Lee Roth podcast. Oh, God. The song goes like this. Bert Benundren, could you please give me a C chord?
You don't have any accompanist here, Margaret.
Oh, sorry. Okay. It goes like this. Whether I'm right See, what I'm doing, Phil. Oh, well, excuse me, aren't you just put upon?
No, I just, you know, you have... I like to listen to you sing. I would like for once to hear you just sing the song...
Yeah, sing the way it's supposed to, and not like you're all... like you got brain damage.
I there are days, Bud, when I look at you and I see a grave marker, because I know you don't have long. I know you don't have long. I know I don't have to worry, because I know you'll run afoul of the wrong person.
Well, now, come on, Miss Gregg. You know I like you, but ain't nobody going to hurt my little buddy here.
Yeah, you tell him.
Oh, get a load of...
Well, are you going to call him an Uncle Tom?
Hey, man, come on now.
No, I... Well...
Oh, you were, huh?
No. I thought it was a little of mice and menish, though, and I thought that Robert was beginning to fit the part of... George, but...
Well, come on, will you? Sing your song.
I will not sing it with that kind of a lead-in.
Here is Margaret Gray to sing in her own inimitable way. What?
I've gotta be me.
I'm sorry.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I was an interpretive singer, for those of you who are new to the program. What that means is I added interpretive and jazz, Bud and Robert's stylings. I added a certain kind of improvisational feel. Many people have compared what I do to Kate Bush. Some have compared what I do to John Cage. These were rather progressive, non-traditional artists. And then if you go to the early part of the 20th century...
Please, would you come on?
I'm sorry. Okay, here we go. Sammy Davis Jr. originally did this song. I thought it was written by Paul Anka, but because he wrote everything that those people did, and by those people I mean singers, not black ones. This is called, I don't know, Whether I'm Right or Whether I'm Wrong. Here it is.
I Gotta Be Me.
What?
It's called I Gotta Be Me.
Yeah, called I Gotta Be Me.
Well, what's Whether I'm Right or Whether I'm Wrong?
It's the first lines of the song.
Oh, okay. One, two, three. One, two, three.
Oh, God.
Two, three. Ooh, yeah. All right, I won't do the sexualization. You don't like it.
No, I don't. I don't. It's...
Well, don't get all grossed out, Phil. God.
Okay.
Okay, one, two. Ooh, woo! Whether I'm right... or whether I'm wrong, whether I find a place in this world or never be long. Bow, bow, I've got to be me. Woo, I've got to be me. Yeah, man. Whatever, don't you see? And it goes like that. What?
It went from bad to freaking weird.
How dare you sit there and say, get my husband on the phone, please.
Oh, what are we going to do? What's Frank going to do? Sue me?
No, I want a little moral support.
But Ms. Gray, that wasn't bad, but you went and started doing all that, you know, hey, man, you know.
It's not racial.
No, but I mean, Margaret, you know, you got a beautiful voice. You obviously can hit the notes. What is all with all of this, you know, yeah, hey, man?
Oh, you're upset because that's the second time I've broken. It is a scat styling.
Okay, it's a scat styling, but for I don't think it fits.
Got Frank Gray, line two, pick up.
Oh, well, yes, sir, Mr. Dickman.
Pick up, line two.
Why are you doing that?
Because I heard that they do that at a professional companies and stuff. Pick up, line, Mr. Henry, pick up, line two.
Yeah, okay, bud, they do that when they have an intercom system and there's guys 85 miles away that they need to talk to, okay?
What's that mean?
When they got a big... Frank, is that you?
I've been waiting. You didn't even have to pick up because I was on I don't know. Who? I thought it was Margaret that answered the phone. Did he put me on?
No, it was Bud.
All right, well, she opened the lineup.
Okay.
Frank, it's Margaret. I'm singing Sammy's song. I've got it. We knew Sammy. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I knew her.
You knew Sammy Davis Jr.?
Oh, yeah, I did. I did legal work for her. Wonderful, wonderful, and pound for pound, the greatest entertainer I think I've ever met, Sammy Davis Jr.
All right, when we come back, Margaret's going to sing
Yeah, Whether I'm Right or Whether I'm Wrong. Is that the name of it?
No, I Gotta Be Me.
That's the name. I never did know the name of it. I thought it was Whether I'm Right or Whether I'm... Whether She's Right or Whether Someone Was Right. I don't...
All right, we'll be right back with Margaret singing Whether I'm Right or Whether I'm Wrong.
It's called I Gotta Be Me. That's what you just said.
Oh, okay, yeah. I just don't want to... I don't want to do it wrong.
Well, don't be such a baby, Phil. Stick up for yourself. It's called Whether I'm Right or Whether He's Wrong.
Phil and...
She was right. Call it that.
But I wanted to do that.
Okay, well, Margaret's going to sing, and welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Margaret Gray is with us on the line from their home in Santa Monica as Margaret's husband, entertainment attorney, longtime TV producer, in semi-retirement. Frank, I guess you'll never really retire, though, huh?
No, you don't ever really retire, Bill, because you've always got a client. I was talking to the kid there, the one that's got the brain malady, that Bud Dickman.
Yeah, Bud.
Yes.
I was saying to her that Sammy Davis Jr. was pound for pound the greatest entertainer that I ever in my life knew. And yeah, a lot of people like give you an example. Margaret, what the?
Frank, you compared him to Michael Jackson.
Yes, exactly. Michael Jackson was an extension for me of Sammy Jr. or Dave. Sammy.
Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, what I'm going to do, Frank, is I want to do my version, you know, the version C from the Hellenic presentation.
Of whether I've Got to Be Me.
No, I've Got to Be Me. Whether I'm right, parenthetically, whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong. I've Got to Be Me, whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong.
Right.
No, that's not how it goes. It's I whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, I Got to Be Me. Not that it's a big deal.
Well, just do it.
Yes, can I sing it?
Go ahead.
God.
It doesn't matter, but this is from Margaret's one-woman show, and he does... Have you seen his one-woman show?
No, I haven't.
Well, I'll tell you, you've never seen a one-woman show until you've seen his.
Okay.
What's she laughing at?
Frank, I told you, you have the gender confusion. People laugh behind your back.
So she's laughing behind my back, huh?
Frank, you can talk to me directly. It's very funny when you confuse gender.
I'm not aware of it.
I understand that. I understand. All right, Margaret, here we go. Margaret Gray singing I Gotta Be Me.
Thank you very much, Phil. I dedicate this to Sammy. Whether I'm right, whether I'm wrong. Whether I find a place in this world or never belong. Ooh, gotta be me. Got to be me. Yeah, what else can I be? But what I am, really, Frank, what I am.
Hit it.
I'll go it alone. If that's how it must be. I can't be right for somebody else if I'm not right for me, Frank.
You know it.
I'm gonna be me. You know what? I think I'll be me. The dream that I see makes me what I am. That far away is not.
What the hell?
Frank, move the table. I will settle down. You've got to move that coffee table. I will settle for less. As long as there's a chance. I'll go it alone. That's right. If that's how it must be, it doesn't matter, Frank. I can't be right for you, Frank. You know, if I'm not right for me.
You said a mouthful, honey.
So I've got to be me. I've got to be. Ooh, 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 ooh. got to kill the music.
You were doing fantastic, baby.
Kill the music, Phil. Kill the music, Phil. Get, oh.
What the hell happened?
Is this a nail gun? What is this?
Oh, sorry, it's a stapler.
I ought to kick his ass.
Okay, whoa. What happened?
I hit my big moment, and I sat down right on that stapler.
Oh, you took one off the cheek?
Yes, I did. Well, do you have to... What a slob, Frank.
Well, it sounded to me when you screamed. I said, I'll bet you I know anything, because I know what happened. I know my wife scream when she takes one off the...
Off the buttocks?
How dare you?
I'm sorry.
Yes, you're right. When she takes... Usually it's my teeth. And...
Okay, thanks a lot, Frank. It's been nice talking to you.
Wait a minute. I wanted to explain the time.
Well, at least you can let him get out that... It's an interesting anecdote, and...
I don't want to hear it, Margaret, okay? About him biting your buttocks?
Well, he didn't bite it that time. It was a stapler that this one left on the seat.
Well, I'm sorry about that. That was quite a dramatic rendition.
Yes, you'll notice my touch. My touch was the recitation. So that I have these very soaring vocalizations, which I'm noted for, as you know, and as you've all been very unkind.
No, wait. I want to say something, Margaret. You have a lovely voice, okay?
Thank you.
And I'm sorry. I don't mean to be unkind. I think sometimes you do more than you need to, you know?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. You do more than you need to.
Oh, that's a good way of putting it, huh?
Bud, will you shut up, man?
I mean...
So, that's what it is. So you're just humoring me, huh?
No, we're not humoring. I'm just saying you don't have to do so much because it's a lovely, you know, song and you have a lovely voice. But the recitation's kind of cute, you know.
What do you mean cute? What the hell do you think this is? Some recital for a fourth grader? I was singing a song that means a lot to people. Doesn't mean that much to me, but it means a lot to people. And
well, why do you sing it then?
Because I can sing it, I don't know.
Doesn't mean anything to you?
Not really.
So when you get to that part, I've got to be right for you, Frank.
I don't know, just something I thought to do.
You don't feel anything?
No, of course I don't feel anything. Why would I feel something? I've been married to Frank for so long, it's, you know, I don't have to be right for myself. What? I don't even relate to those lyrics. That's some 1960s freedom ode that has absolutely no... place in modern society. Thank you. I'm Margaret Gray, going to the toilet.
And why are you always going to the toilet?
Because I'm uncomfortable with this conversation, Phil. Hint, hint.
Well,
I guess you're getting too much in a find out about, you know, song and everything.
What?
The find out song.
What are you talking about? No, you understand it, man.
I said, you're, well, I better not say.
Yeah, don't say it. This is exactly where you start bringing in stuff that gets him pissed off. Don't. Well, anyway, I thought it was a pretty cool song. Hey, I gotta find out something. Somebody's gotta help me. What is this ad, International Dating?
Yeah, I don't know what it is either.
What is this? AnastasiaGlobal.com. This is about as bizarre a thing as I've... No other international dating site comes close. Are you trying to tell me that a guy logs on 40-minute free call... So are you telling me that this has got a market?
Yeah, well, it looks like it might be.
Do you, either one of you guys do it?
Do what?
Do you log on to this Anastasia Dial Global thing?
No, man, I don't even know what you thought. I've seen a commercial.
Yeah.
Are you back, Margaret?
Yes, I heard you talking in the bathroom because I heard the overhead and I had to wipe quickly and come back in. So, because I want to make a comment on this.
All right. Well, thank you for letting us know that you wiped quickly.
Well, why? Do my hands smell?
Would you please go and wash your hand?
Phil, I will not be embarrassed.
Oh, God!
Man, it's,
Mr. Henry, I am washing... How dare you?
You're the one that kids you wipe quickly. So, I'm just curious, because it's about as... It's a goofy-looking thing, man. I mean, I don't mean to knock them, or... And, you know, seriously, It needs... Somebody's got to explain this to me, because let me tell you something. I'm all... You know, I get it about the new media, but this is life imitating art. This is like something out of THX 1138.
What?
Why? Because I had a hard time with the title.
No, what is that?
It's a movie. It's a movie you guys don't know. It's an early. It was George Lucas's student film at USC, which he eventually made into a theatrical film.
Really?
Yeah, and I actually saw the student film. They played it one day on Channel 28, which was the public station here in L.A. I was in high school at the time, and I remember the guy on TV was showing student films from USC. That was the presentation. It was a Saturday afternoon. He said, and this is the student film of George Lucas. And this is called THX-1138. And this is the futuristic vision of George Lucas, of Mr. Lucas. And this is, you know, bam, bam, bam. So they showed a black and white shortened, and there was no dialogue version. And I believe he shot it.
Okay, I know the answer to this. Hold on, I'm just wiping.
Oh, God.
Well, why are you uncomfortable with that, Phil? Hold on. Do you have toilet paper? I told you to keep it stocked.
Would you get her a roll of toilet paper?
Okay, I'll bring it in to you.
Don't you dare.
Ms. Gray?
Okay, so anyway, folks.
What do you want?
Got a toilet paper.
All right, just set it down at the door and leave. Set it down at the door and back away.
Will you come on? All right, so anyway, yeah, the guy said George Lucas, and this is his student film. And we're going to be looking at a lot of these student films through the course of this afternoon, and the first one they had was this Lucas film. So I thought it was interesting. And as I watched this movie, I remember thinking it was really interesting. It held my interest, and it was one that was...
Hi, hold on.
Will you shut the door, please?
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, God. Can I get another roll, please?
Oh, all right. Now, hold on. Wait, don't go. Margaret, what is the problem?
The roll that he brought me was soaking wet, all right?
I didn't bring it soaking wet.
But it got wet in here.
Why?
Because the toilet overflowed. I jammed it up. Excuse me for being a human being.
And you mopped up the water with the toilet paper?
Phil, is all of this going out over the air? You are not much of a gentleman.
All right. Would you get her another roll? Anyway, as we wait for Margaret, because she has some anecdote. So what happened was...
Now you were talking about how the movie was, right?
Yeah.
I'm not done yet. I'm not done. I'm sorry.
Will you shut the door, please?
I want to hear what you're saying.
Well, why can't you listen to the intercom?
It's broken.
What is she doing? Is she in there using the toilet with the door open?
I'm not going to go look. She'll accuse me of being a pederast.
That's not what a pederast is, you jackball. Because she's an old lady.
Don't you call me an old lady.
Okay, all right. Anyway, so they showed the movie, and it was THX-1138. Now, what is the theme of THX-1138? It's escaping. It was a typical theme from the late 60s.
I need to, Phil. I'm so sorry. Where's the plunger?
Oh, come on.
Come on. What is wrong with you?
I'm trying to tell a story. I'm waiting for you. The door's open. What is that?
Water.
You're flooding my studio now.
Well, I'm sorry, but I had cheese. All right?
Well, now everybody knows.
I don't care. It's perfectly normal. Phil, I had cheese. I like cheddar cheese, and I was hungry, and I had a block of cheddar cheese at lunch.
Okay, what has that got to do with anything?
Well, three guesses.
Man, that probably like cement, Phil. You want me to get, I can probably go into the garage and get a chisel.
Yeah.
A chisel. Margaret, we'll have to just deal with it after the show, okay?
Well, I'm not leaving this in the toilet for Bud to come in and photograph, because you know that he does that. Phil?
Okay!
What a baby.
Don't you, Bud?
Well, I don't take pictures of mine.
Oh, God, you guys are freaking children. You know, I swear to God, I don't want any toilet games played around here. You understand?
I'm not doing it. Bud is.
No one's talking about you. Look at, there's water on the floor. This is just vile.
Keep talking about THX-1138.
So, THX...
Hold on. Okay, that's got it. Boy, this little... it's a little girl's sand shovel that came into handy. And just...
God.
You are really a child, you know that?
Margaret, no one likes to hear just this free discussion of one's toilet habits, okay?
Well, I think it's time you grow up. We're all humans. As F. Buckminster Fuller said, We're all travelers on this spaceship Earth. Thank you. Cue it, bud.
Yes, ma'am.
I can't be...
Don't do that when you don't tell me.
It was going to be a great lockout.
Don't go cue it, bud, and then he does stuff. I do what I do, okay? I run things.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, Mr. Gleason.
THX1, to make a I don't even know why I'm talking about the movie, but it was a futuristic film that George Lucas made. I'm talking about the film, you know.
No, I know, but I thought you were talking about the one with Robert Duvall.
Robert Duvall was in the theatrical release, and the theatrically released THX-113, it had dialogue, color.
The one he done for his school is black and white?
Yes.
Black and white, I don't like black and white.
Yeah, me neither, man. Why'd they have black and white?
Because there was a time when black and white was the better quality photograph. It was a better quality of photography. That black and white was far more... utilitarian, I guess is the word. Oh, I have to break. Okay, great.
Well, that's because you're running your mouth about me flushing a toilet, which, by the way, I got to run back in there.
All right, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
I'm sorry, I didn't finish.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, now I'm done.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What is this?
Anniversary this issue with a story on America.
Oh, we've been checking out old air checks. This is something only radio geeks do. But we were talking about the R&B stations.
Oh, God, the wonderful rhythm and blues, Magnificent Montague.
Yes, the Magnificent Montague. So you remember hearing him.
I did. I just got to Los Angeles, and KGFJ...
KGFJ was the R&B station. Chicago had WVON. I'm trying to think of the stations around the country. But here in L.A., we had KGFJ. New York was it BAI? No, that BAI is the Pacifica station. But nonetheless, so here's the thing. KGFJ had this legendary lineup of disc jockeys. They had this guy, the Magnificent Montague. And that guy was from Philly originally, and he came out to L.A., and then there was another cat named Hunter Hancock.
Hunter, I remember him.
And they played R&B. And I remember as a kid, I would go down to the record store, because that's where you went. Nowadays, I mean, you sit at your computer and you download. But before that, we got on our bikes, and we rode down to the record store, because they sold all the records. And they not only sold records, there was a place called the Arcadia Music Mart. That's where you went.
But that in Arcadia?
Yeah, I think so, bud.
Yeah, what do you think, man? It's called Arcadia Music Mart. What do you think it is? Monrovia?
Well, no, but I mean, that's where Phil grew up.
Yes, he grew up there.
That's, yeah, my hometown. So in any event, all right, so...
You should tell people it's Arcadia, California, not Arcadia, Florida.
Well, people know it's California.
Yes, but you don't want anyone thinking Arcadia, Florida because...
Because why?
Man, that's no good.
Yeah, it's... Talk about boiled peanuts.
Yeah, it's a little hillbilly.
All right. Nonetheless.
Arcadia, California, folks.
Thank you, Margaret. So, nonetheless, I would go down to the... that's pretty insulting, you know, to people who live in the Arcadia, Florida. Anyway, so I go down to the Music Mart, and you go in, and there were all the records, and there was also what we had in those days called the Mutual Ticket Agency, and that's where you bought tickets for things. So if you wanted to go to a concert, you bought your tickets there. If you wanted to go to a ball game... And here's how it worked. Because you were asking about this, bud, right?
Yeah.
You walked up to the lady. Now, of course, you're buying it online. And back in the day, before we had the online access, we would go to the Mutual Ticket window, and they had computerized access themselves. But way back when, man, there's a lady there, and she's got on that old-style Lily Tomlin headset, you know?
Yes, the old telephone operator.
Right. And you'd say, I'd like two tickets to the Dodger game tonight. And she'd get on the phone, and she'd call Dodger Stadium, and she'd say, we want two tickets, and she goes, and where? And she'd slide the chart in front of me, and she'd say, well, here's where the seats are. I said, well, I'd like something behind home plate, and she'd show you. And back then, you had a pretty good chance of getting a seat behind home plate. depending upon the day. So she'd show you where the seats were, and she'd say, we have this, this, this. I said, what are those? She says, well, there's this, and there's access here. And, yeah, they still have them. She's talking to the stadium, because the stadium is telling her what's available, what's been sold all throughout the city, you know?
Yeah, because there's other people who are buying them.
Yeah, there's people all over the city buying Dodger tickets. So you, and she'd say, okay, we have these. I'd say, okay, I'll take those two. Okay, and she'd get back on the thing, and she'd say, we've just sold those two for, you know, and boom, the Dodgers would, or whoever would, and that's how they did it, you know?
Well, that sounds almost better than the way that they do it now.
Well, I mean, I don't know. There were human people. I can't say that people are communicating less because we're communicating more. You know, we have all kinds of ways of communicating. We just don't use people for a lot of the things we used to use, you know.
Huh?
Never mind. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Hendry. And remember to get online and join us online at philhendryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you can access literally thousands and thousands of hours of great radio. It's there for you at philhendryshow.com. Don't forget, we'll have information about our one-man show. So many great things. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/philhendryfans. And until tonight, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.